This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
If you're constantly on the hunt for a good deal, then you need Rakuten. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, traveling, dining, and more. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Tornado on the ground.
Severe tornado threat. We're tracking what the National Weather Service calls a rare high-level risk, with more than 50 million Americans in the path.
Big damaging hail and the wind gusts could be 50, 60, and 70 plus miles per hour.
Plus the dramatic rescues in Texas after heavy rain floods the area.
We lost everything. The damage is all the way to my waist.
The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening, I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We come on the air with the threat of dangerous and deadly weather for tens of millions of Americans tonight across the Southern Plains. The National Weather Service is issuing a rare high-risk forecast for violent thunderstorms, long-track tornadoes, and giant hail. We're talking about hail from 2 to 4 inches in diameter. That's the size of baseballs to grapefruit. Residents from Oklahoma to Kansas are in the bullseye tonight and are bracing for the potential outbreak of powerful EF3 strength twisters or stronger. This is the first time Oklahoma has been under a high-risk weather alert in 5 years. We'll begin tonight in Oklahoma City, where meteorologist Paul Goodloe from our partners at the Weather Channel is standing by for a busy night of storms. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening, Nora. Again, the wind has been howling all day long, 30-plus miles per hour. That's the winds of change coming out in here. You mentioned the high-risk day. Last time that happened was 2019. We're now under a PDS tornado watch, a particularly dangerous situation, and this is the second one we've had in 9 days. The last one back on the 27th of April, 20 tornadoes, 4 Oklahomans lost their lives. We hope that doesn't happen, but the ingredients are there. On our Torcon scale with the Weather Channel, up to a 9, that can go to a 10 once we have tornadoes on the ground. The timing of this is going to be probably after dinner time towards sunset, roughly 8 o'clock on through midnight. And nighttime tornadoes are twice as deadly as tornadoes during the day. That threat pushes eastward on your Tuesday. More of the Ohio Valley, Midwest in that threat. And then another piece of energy out of the west comes through on Wednesday, bringing another risk of severe weather. But right now, Nora, it's all about what could happen for the rest of tonight here across the central and southern plains. Yes, that high risk means EF3 or stronger tornadoes possibly on the ground for a long time. People need to have a plan and follow that plan when a warning is issued for their area. Nora?
A dangerous night ahead. Paul Goodloe, thank you. While millions are bracing for the severe weather to come, Texans are still recovering from days of heavy downpours and deadly flooding that resulted in hundreds of rescues. Residents in the Houston area are finally returning to their homes to assess the damage as the floodwaters recede. CBS's Janet Shamlin reports from hard-hit Montgomery County, Texas.
This is the horrific aftermath of a home ravaged by floodwater. Rita David and her daughter left just hours before it looked like this. Water waist high.
How bad is it in your house?
It's terrible. We lost everything.
She's dragging moldy furniture onto the lawn by day, sleeping on the mosquito-filled second floor at night.
You have flood insurance.
I have flood insurance.
And what has it covered?
They told me only covers the structure, so I'm in shock because I'm thinking I'm protected.
This is the reality for hundreds after catastrophic flooding, water receding, but not heartache.
We're coming out of the response phase, and we're going into the recovery mode.
More than 500 rescues across Texas and at least three people killed, including a four-year-old boy swept away by floodwater. The response phase was a lifesaver for some.
12, I got the mail and $1.
This is the worst I've seen, second only to Hurricane Harvey.
Almost 2 feet of rainfall in 5 days. We were with first responders as they made rescues by boat, including dozens of pets. And yet, there were holdouts.
They could take you to a shelter.
No, ma'am, I got my truck over the other side of the street.
Governor Abbott called the flooding heart-wrenching.
The main thing we want to do is to protect lives.
Tonight, David and others need all they can get.
I need people to come help me. I went and signed up for volunteers to come over. Do you know who show up? The news, another news, and the reporters helped me move the furniture.
The lawns of this neighborhood are filled with people's belongings and their treasures. For the hardest hit homes here, cleanup will be a years-long process. It's just getting started. Nora?
I'm thinking about the people of Texas. Janet Shamlin, thank you. Breaking news on a possible ceasefire deal. After word today that Hamas accepted a proposal, Israel's war cabinet came out to say that deal is far from acceptable. But still, Israel is sending representatives to Egypt to keep the conversations going. And as CBS's Remy Innocencio reports, that is not stopping Benjamin Netanyahu from moving forward with his military operation in Gaza.
A rare sound rose across Gaza, cheers of relief and joy. While in Israel, protesters called for the government to accept a deal
to save all the remaining hostages who are still alive.
Hamas says it approved a proposal, three stages, each 6 weeks long, for a permanent ceasefire, a swap of hostages held by Hamas for Palestinians in Israeli jails, and allowing displaced Gazans to return home with no restrictions. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office called Hamas's proposal, quote, far from meeting Israel's core demands, but announced he will send a delegation to join negotiations. But he had been adamant he would not agree to a permanent ceasefire.
If Israel is forced to stand alone, Israel will stand alone.
The White House wouldn't get into the details.
Hey, the last thing I would ever want to do from this podium is say something that could put this very sensitive process at greater risk. We are at a critical stage right now.
But President Biden, in a call earlier today with Netanyahu, repeated American insistence that a Rafah invasion is unacceptable, putting an estimated 1.4 million civilians at risk. This morning, the Israeli military spread an ominous message over eastern Rafah. Children clutched maps dropped by Israel, telling them to head to the coast. Israel says it's prepped for 100,000 people to move to the Al-Mawasi camp, already overcrowded, says Sam Rose in Gaza with the UN.
I find it very hard to believe that there would be space, but these are people essentially living in areas that aren't fit for long-term human habitation. It's essentially living on a beach.
And just after Hamas announced its approval of a ceasefire, Israel's war cabinet unanimously decided to continue its military operations in eastern Rafah. This is the same area that was told to evacuate. The military confirmed it started its attacks tonight. Nora.
Remy Innocencio, thank you. Back here at home, Columbia University today canceled its main graduation ceremony following weeks of protests over Israel's war in Gaza. The recent crackdowns by schools and police has done anything but slow this nationwide movement. We have team coverage of these increasingly defiant protests from coast to coast. And CBS's Lana Zak will start us off tonight from New York. Good evening, Lana.
Good evening, Nora. Columbia is hoping that their decision to scrap the large celebration in favor of two dozen smaller events held 5 miles off campus will help them to avoid the disruptions we've already seen at other graduations.
Tonight, graduating students at Columbia University are frustrated by the latest disruption to their school year.
It's a bittersweet ending to a bittersweet start.
It's irritating. Parents have to change their plans last minute because the university couldn't decide whether or not they were going to host commencement until now.
The university has struggled for weeks with how to contain the sometimes destructive student protests, calling in the police twice, including last week, to remove more than 100 people illegally barricaded inside Hamilton Hall. Over the weekend, Northeastern University ceremony was briefly interrupted by protesters. One student was arrested. While about 50 protesters marched through commencement at the University of Michigan. And out on the West Coast, clashes between police and demonstrators intensified today.
I'm Elise Preston on the campus of UCLA, where hundreds of students marched through the campus after news that dozens were detained in the early morning hours.
Video posted on social media shows multiple people in a campus parking lot with their hands zip-tied. Demonstrators expressed outrage over what they see as over-policing. Just as UCLA formed a new Office of Campus Safety, campus police are under investigation for their handling of an attack on a student encampment last week.
Do you feel safe on this campus?
I do not feel safe on this campus. I frankly feel targeted.
At UC San Diego, more than 60 people were taken into custody as law enforcement tore down an encampment. Angry protesters later clashed with deputies at the sheriff's office. Tents at USC were removed yesterday, where security checkpoints have become the norm.
I guess I'm a little disappointed that I won't be able to walk through this gate for the final time with my parents on graduation day.
Now, UCLA has not announced whether June's commencement here at Pauley Pavilion will go on as planned or what additional security measures could be added. Meanwhile, schools across the country are rolling out metal detectors and hiring additional security. Nora?
Elise Preston and Lana Zak, thank you. There's more breaking news from overseas. CBS News has learned that an American soldier has been arrested in Russia after being accused of stealing from a woman. CBS's David Martin is at the Pentagon with new reporting.
The soldier is Staff Sergeant Gordon Black, based in South Korea, but now detained in Russia and accused of theft. Officials say he was supposed to be returning to the United States as part of a regular rotation, but instead traveled to the port city of Vladivostok, even though Russia is listed as a do-not-travel zone for the American military. He was arrested last week for allegedly stealing from a woman. The evidence against him is not known.
I can't really say much about it right now, but we are aware of this case.
Black becomes another American held in Russian jail, including former Marine Paul Whelan and Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, at a time when the war in Ukraine has brought relations between Washington and Moscow to near crisis levels. Both have been designated as wrongfully detained. WNBA star Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years after marijuana was found in her luggage. She was released in a trade for a notorious Russian arms dealer.
This evening, CBS News spoke with Sergeant Black's mother, who says he told the family he was going to Russia to visit a girlfriend. The mother has spoken to her son and while he was in Russia and says that the girlfriend claimed he had stolen money from her. Nora?
It was an interesting story. More is going to come out on this, no doubt. David Martin, thank you.
Testimony in the trial of the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump entered its third week today. Prosecutors tried to lay out their case, giving jurors their first look at crucial documents they say prove the former president falsified records related to payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. And in more fireworks, the judge held the former president in contempt for the second time for repeatedly violating a gag order. CBS's Robert Costa is back at the courthouse for us. And Bob, I understand the judge had some very harsh words for Donald Trump. What can you tell us?
Good evening, Nora. The judge said former President Donald Trump violated the gag order in this case for the 10th time and also fined Trump $1,000. That gag order says Trump can't talk about the jury or about the witnesses in this case. This most recent violation about an interview Trump gave, where he said the jury, in his view, was democratic and unfair. Inside the courtroom today, the judge looked at Trump and said those comments are a direct attack on the rule of law.
So, Bob, I know the judge keeps fining him, but could the former president go to jail?
Yes, he could, Nora. The judge has not ruled out anything. And in fact, tonight, CBS News has learned there are internal discussions inside the U.S. Secret Service about how to handle Trump being put in jail should it happen. Would it be in a holding cell at the courthouse behind me, or maybe even in a cell at Rikers Island? Nothing's off the table at this point, but sources say regardless of what happens, should it happen, it would be a logistical nightmare. Nora?
No doubt. Robert Costa with that new reporting. Thank you. Millions of patients and tens of thousands of employees are in limbo tonight after one of the largest hospital bankruptcies in history. CBS's chief medical correspondent, Dr. John LaPook, has been investigating for nearly 2 years.
After Steward Healthcare declared bankruptcy earlier today, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey insisted 8 hospitals run by the company in her state will remain open.
Patients should keep your appointments. Continue to seek care when you need it at these facilities.
Despite those assurances, the company's early morning filing listing debts of at least $550 million left frontline workers like nurse Audra Sprague reeling.
How does this all leave you feeling?
Angry. This one company is going to come in and just destroy it and walk away and probably have no repercussions for it.
Beginning in 2010, Steward snapped up dozens of community hospitals across 8 states with backing from private equity investors. In recent years, the company has struggled, shuttering hospitals and leaving an extensive trail of unpaid bills that led to shortages of life-saving medical supplies. Last year at this Steward hospital in Boston, a 39-year-old woman died after giving birth to her daughter. Weeks before, a device that potentially might have saved her life was repossessed by a vendor Steward hadn't paid.
They bought these hospitals in these communities to serve the underserved, and that's not happening.
In a statement announcing the bankruptcy, Steward CEO Ralph De La Torre said the company had done everything in its power to operate successfully in a highly challenging healthcare environment.
Seems like whatever Steward says, you can't trust.
An SEC filing from 2021 revealed Steward's owners paid themselves millions in dividends. Around the same time, De La Torre acquired this 190-foot yacht estimated to be worth $40 million.
That this situation stems from and is rooted in greed, mismanagement, and lack of transparency.
Steward Healthcare said declaring bankruptcy allows it to continue providing care to its 2.2 million patients nationwide without disruption. Ultimately, a bankruptcy court will help decide the fate of Steward's hospitals. Nora?
Dr. LaPook, thank you for staying on top of this story. A terrifying scene at a church in Pennsylvania. A gunman takes aim at the pastor, and it is all caught on camera. That's next.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A 26-year-old man accused of trying to shoot a Pennsylvania pastor during his live stream sermon is being held without bail tonight. The suspect's gun didn't fire, and he was tackled by the church's deacon. Police are also investigating a deadly shooting at the suspect's home near the church. It's a historic night for U.S. space travel. We'll explain next. The countdown is on for the historic launch of tonight's Boeing's Starliner capsule, making its maiden voyage to the International Space Station with two astronauts on board. CBS's Mark Strassman reports from the Kennedy Space Center.
At long last tonight, Boeing Starliner stands poised to launch people, NASA astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore.
It's shocking to me that here we are, but here we are.
Every now and then it's like, wow, this is cool.
But something will be riding with Starliner's two astronauts. It'll be Boeing's reputation. Starliner's been stung by setbacks, severe software problems, jammed valves, parachute issues, nearly a mile of potentially flammable tape inside the capsule. In all, 7 years of delays, more than $1 billion in cost overruns.
I have full confidence that people are putting the vehicle together properly.
Mark Nappi is Boeing's program manager for Starliner.
This isn't a race. This is all about doing it right and doing it safely.
How important is it to the Boeing brand that this flight go well?
It's important to the crew. And it's important for our company.
Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon.
NASA already has one reliable space taxi, SpaceX. But the space agency wants redundancy, a space Uber, and a space Lyft. So far, SpaceX has put 50 people into orbit. Boeing, none.
Despite all the setbacks, full confidence
absolutely.
In Starliner, full
absolutely.
Confidence in Boeing?
Yes, at this time, absolutely.
Yeah, full confidence on the NASA side and the Boeing side. Yes, there's been some issues in the past. That's the past. That is not now.
Starliner's crew could be docking to the space station tomorrow night, but it would also be a flight that took years. Nora?
Mark Strassman, thank you. All right, an inspiring Heart of America is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America, where we begin a full week of stories leading up to Mother's Day. Meet five daughters who followed in their mother's footsteps to become nurses, all at the same hospital. These five mother-daughter duos all care for the littlest patients at Children's National Hospital right here in Washington, D.C. Hillary Linnean joined the hospital in 2010 and says having her mom Rose there makes the job that much easier.
Someone in the hospital, you can have someone who really is like in your corner and can give you a colleague perspective, also a mom perspective too. It's been really special.
Watching her grow and watching her like commitment, compassion to patients, it's very inspiring to me. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, who is this wonderful woman?
Oh, the nurses at Children's National Hospital in Washington and all nurses everywhere. You are tonight's Heart of America. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in Rome to meet Pope Francis for a rare, wide-ranging interview.
Do you like when you are called the people's pope?
El Papa de la gente.
It is very important to talk about the future. You have called for a ceasefire. Can you help negotiate peace?
Join us for our special hour with His Holiness on CBS.
Pope Francis the First, a CBS News primetime special, tomorrow on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.